The knock on the door startled Irene Atkins. The 79-year-old great-grandmother wasn't expecting any visitors. A cautious peek through the peephole revealed a well-dressed, silver-haired gentleman with a kind face that struck her as vaguely familiar. It was something about his eyes and nose. As she opened the door, her certainty grew. The stranger definitely reminded her of someone, but who? It would take her a little while to realize that the man's face indeed bore an uncanny resemblance to a face she knew better than anyone's, her own. Irene's 73-year-old brother Terry had come for a surprise visit. And it really was quite a surprise, because until now, Irene never knew she had a brother. Back in 1932, during the depths of the Great Depression, a desperate and confused young English couple unhitched their tattered camper on the side of the road and drove away. Police later found the trailer with three small, hungry children inside. Irene, at 10 months, was the youngest. The three were placed in separate homes and grew up completely unaware of each other's existence. Meanwhile, the young couple eventually got back on their feet, achieved some stability, and had another child, Terry, who they were able to support and raise. When Terry was 14, his parents revealed their embarrassing story. They told him of the desperate situation they had found themselves in and their heart-wrenching decision to abandon their young children. Shortly thereafter, Terry began a lifelong search for his older siblings. He searched in vain for almost 60 years, and then finally there came a breakthrough. He learned the name of the agency that had placed the children in foster homes. Not long later, on April 3rd, 2010, Irene Atkins experienced the joy of meeting the brother she never knew she had. This was the beginning of a welcomed and wonderful relationship. For the next few weeks, I'm going to be introducing you to a very dear friend of mine. And he's your friend too. But for some of you, he's a friend that you haven't known much about. Perhaps you haven't even known that he's your friend. For some of you, you've known his name, but you haven't known much about him. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about my friend and your friend, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 14, beginning at verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." Everybody say helper. Another helper. "To be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." So here, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as our helper, our helper. Now, some of you, you have an older version of the Bible that uses the word comforter there. Right? Comforter. And that indeed is a good word to describe the Holy Spirit. There have been so many times in my life where the Holy Spirit has brought me great comfort, for sure. But God, I got to tell you, there's been other times in my life where the Holy Spirit has made me uncomfortable. And that's okay, because I needed to be made uncomfortable about something. But the whole time, he was doing it for my good, and he was helping me. So I like the NIV translation here, where it describes the Holy Spirit, where Jesus says the Holy Spirit is our helper. The Holy Spirit helps us in so many ways. The Holy Spirit helps us understand the Word of God. The Holy Spirit helps us remember things from the Word of God that we need to remember. The Holy Spirit helps us say the things we should say and not the things we shouldn't say. The Holy Spirit helps us by giving us direction. The Holy Spirit encourages us when we're down and gives us hope. The Holy Spirit helps us have a God perspective on life. And the Holy Spirit helps us in so many different ways. And my prayer for all of us in this series is that we're going to get to know the Holy Spirit on a deeper level, but that we're not going to just know the Holy Spirit in terms of knowing about him, but we're going to know the Holy Spirit by actually experiencing him. Amen? And if you're listening at home this morning, I want you to know you don't have to be in church for the Holy Spirit to minister to you. And our prayer is that the Holy Spirit's touching you right there in your home, right in your living room, right in your den, because the Holy Spirit is not limited by the four walls of the church, right? Yes, the power of God's presence in our lives. The Holy Spirit is our helper. The Holy Spirit helps us live for God. So I don't want Bethel Church to be a Pentecostal church in name only. I want us to be Pentecostal in our experience, right? That we will be filled with the power and the presence of God's Spirit, that it's going to be real. Recently, I was reading about, and I just didn't know the name for this. I kind of understood that it existed, but a whole line of clothing called athleisure. Are you familiar with athleisure? So athleisure, and you'll notice the athlete part is shortened, but the leisure part is full, right? It's leisure clothing that's designed to look kind of athletic, right? And so this actually came as a complete surprise to me. It probably didn't surprise any of you, but did you know that not everybody who wears yoga pants actually does yoga? And not everybody that wears sweatpants actually does anything to sweat, right? Athleisure. So church, our goal as followers of Christ is not to be Christian in name only, amen, but to be Christian in reality, and that takes the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. We will never get there on our own, never. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about who the Holy Spirit is and what he does in our lives, but then the last couple of weeks, we're going to kind of turn the corner and talk not only about what the Holy Spirit does in us, but we're going to be talking about what the Holy Spirit does through us in ministering to other people. So this morning, I want to share with you three key areas of our lives where the Holy Spirit brings transformation, okay? Three areas: our heart, our mind, and our will. Our heart, our mind, and our will. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that transforms these vital areas of our lives. And so we're going to look at these one at a time, and each one of them is going to have a very profound scripture that will go with them. So first of all, the Holy Spirit transforms my heart, transforms my heart. Ezekiel chapter 36 says this: I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Notice here that the Lord, through the prophet Ezekiel, says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone. Now, that's quite a description of the unregenerated heart. It's like having a stone in you that it's hardened rather than soft and pliable. Our hearts can become hardened. Our hearts can become infected with things like bitterness and unforgiveness and anger. Our hearts can become walled off. When we've been hurt, we've been wounded, and we put up walls to protect our hearts. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit that brings transformation and life to our heart. And then it's the Holy Spirit that helps us actually want to obey the laws of God. All right? Now listen, the law of God is a good thing. The law is good, the Bible says. But the law was never meant to transform us and change us. It doesn't have the power to do that. So the law helps us to see what holiness is. It helps us to see what the will of God is for our lives. It helps us understand what the standard is. But the law literally does nothing to help us get there, right? It's absolutely impossible, actually, to live up to the law without the power of the Holy Spirit. So it would be like, you know, trying to, you know, jump over a pole vault bar that's 100 feet in the air. You can't do it. You can try all you want. And this is where people that fall into a religious spirit, they get so frustrated because they're trying, they're reading the Bible and they're saying, man, I want to be there. I'm trying my hardest, but trying will never get you there because the law, keeping the law, can never save any of us. It's God's grace. It's because of what Jesus did when he shed his blood on the cross. That and that alone is what saves us. Amen? And then it's the Holy Spirit that takes the power of the cross and imparts that to our lives. The Spirit of God, when he comes into us, he takes away that heart of stone and he gives us a heart of flesh. Now, I want to encourage you with this too. This is not just a one-time deal. The Holy Spirit is constantly working on our lives. Yes, when he came into your life for the first time, the Holy Spirit took that heart of stone and gave you a heart of flesh. But, you know, most of us as Christians, we go through times in our lives where our hearts start getting a little crusty still. We start getting a little calloused. We start allowing things like bitterness and unforgiveness to come in. And so, the good news is the gospel is not only good news for sinners, the gospel is still good news for saints. Amen? That God is still working in our lives through the power of his Holy Spirit. And I just want to encourage you today, if you find yourself in a place where you know you need heart transformation, ask the Holy Spirit to come and bring that beautiful, wonderful change that only he can give. Amen? The Holy Spirit works in my heart. Secondly, the Holy Spirit works in my mind, transforming my mind. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6 says this, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. And how many of you know in the world that we live in today, we could all use God's help in the area of peace in our lives? Amen? There's so many things in this world that are trying to unsettle us, but God in the midst of it all can bring us great peace. Jesus called it even peace that passes understanding. Right? And it's through his Holy Spirit working in our minds. So there's a number. I'm going to give you four principles out of this scripture that are so powerful and important for us. The first one is this. Your mind is going to be governed by something. Right? It's going to be governed by something. It's either going to be governed by the flesh or it's going to be governed by the Spirit. And Paul uses the word governed there in verse 6. The mind governed by the flesh is death. So think about something governing, ruling over, giving direction to something else. So Paul is saying here that your mind is either going to be governed by the flesh or your mind is going to be governed by the Spirit of God. Okay? So this is crucial. What the Holy Spirit can do in our thought lives, okay? Number two, your mind will be governed by whatever you set your mind on, okay? Paul says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So we've got this choice to make. What am I going to set my mind on, right? Am I going to set my mind on fear, covetousness, lust, the ungodliness that surrounds us, or am I going to set my mind on the Spirit of God. This is a choice that we will all make, right? What are you going to set your mind on? Okay, and then number three, what you set your mind on will eventually determine how you live. Okay, they say, you know, you are what you eat, and that's true, but it's even more true that you are what you think. You are what you think. What you set your thought life on, that's what you're going to do. That's how you're going to live. That's going to determine not only your life, but it's going to determine your destiny. What you set your mind on will eventually determine how you live. So we make a choice, church, to set our minds on the things of the Spirit, all right? And we do that by worshiping the Lord. We do that by spending time in God's presence. We do that by friends with the Word of God. This is how we recalibrate our thinking. It's through the power of God's Holy Spirit and setting our mind on the things of God. And then number four, you can't control everything that goes through your mind, but you can take control of what your mind is set on. Okay, does that make sense? Yeah. There's a lot of things, temptations that go through our minds, right? You're not going to be able to control all of that, but you can certainly control what your mind is going to be set on, right? And we do this through the power of God's Holy Spirit. And then the result of that, of setting our minds on the things of God, the mind governed by the Spirit, is life and peace. Life and peace. Aren't those beautiful gifts from God? Amen? How many of you want more life? How many of you want more peace, right? This is what God says we do in order to get there, right? It's the power of the Spirit at work in our lives, but it's a choice that we make to allow the Holy Spirit to govern our minds, all right? So my mind, so my heart, my mind, and then thirdly, my will, my will. How does the Holy Spirit work in my will? There's a battle going on in each and every one of us. There's a war between the old self, the flesh, and what the Spirit wants to do in our lives. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. So I say, I'm starting this, it looks like, at verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So it's the Spirit of God that enforces what God wants to do in our lives, right? And affects our will, strengthens our will. Because if we're left up to our flesh, our will is going to be very, very weak. It's going to be very manipulated. It's going to be very susceptible to the suggestions of the enemy. We're going to be drawn back into sin. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can actually live the life that Jesus paid for on the cross. Amen? The Bible says that we're to be like our Heavenly Father who is holy, right? Now, you might say to yourself, man, Tim, it's absolutely impossible. You know that. It's impossible to live a perfectly holy life. Well, that may be, but it should always be our goal. Amen? It's always what we're going for because that's what the Bible says to do. The Bible says that we are created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So the enemy just wants to convince us all that we're already defeated before we even begin the fight. And I want to encourage you and challenge you today. We are overcomers through Jesus Christ. The Bible says we're more than conquerors. Amen? So we're either going to approach life through this defeatist attitude that says, I just can't help myself. This is just the way I am. I was born this way. My parents raised me this way. We're either going to live our lives like that, or we're going to live our lives according to the Word of God, and we're going to trust that God has empowered us to live the life that He's called us to live, and He's done that through filling us with His Holy Spirit. Amen? Yeah. It is so sad that so many Christians and even entire churches treat the Holy Spirit like He's optional, right? They'll talk about the Father, which is awesome, we should, and they'll talk about Jesus, which we should, but they'll completely ignore the Holy Spirit. In a lot of churches, it's like going to a restaurant and we're going to choose what we want off the menu. And we say, well, I'll take some of this and some of this, but I don't really want to have any of that. And that looks a little difficult, so let's leave that off my menu. No, I want you to know God has given us His Holy Spirit not as an option, but God has given us His Holy Spirit to empower us to live for Him. Amen? And He's our great helper. Some of us, we've been perhaps raised in atmospheres where we were kind of taught to be leery of the Holy Spirit or afraid of the Holy Spirit. Listen, I understand there have been excesses. There's been excesses when it comes to the things of the Holy Spirit, and we don't want that. But at the same time, guys, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Amen? God has sent us His Holy Spirit as a gift to us. And He's precious and He's wonderful. And I hope that it's your prayer along with mine. I want as much of God's Holy Spirit as I can get in my life because I need Him. I really do. Amen? I need the Holy Spirit to work in my heart. I need the Holy Spirit to transform my mind. I need the Holy Spirit to empower me to live for God. We all need as much of the Holy Spirit as we can get. You know, Jesus didn't even let His disciples start having church until they first got filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? He gave them the commission. You're going to go into all the world and you're going to preach the gospel to every creature. You're going to go into all the world. You're going to start in Jerusalem and go to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But Jesus also said, first, go to Jerusalem and wait. First, go to Jerusalem and wait. What were they waiting for? You're going to wait for the promise that my Father has given you. You're going to wait for my Holy Spirit. They weren't even allowed to start really ministering until they got first filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Because Jesus knew in their flesh they would make a mess of things. He just spent 3 years with these guys, right? He had heard the bickering about who was the greatest. He was very aware that Peter denied even knowing Him. And Jesus saw what they were going to be without the power of the Spirit working in their lives. But on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, everything changed. Peter went from being afraid of a servant girl to standing up in a whole crowd of people and boldly proclaiming the truth of who Jesus is. Amen? That's the power of the Holy Spirit. So who are we, right, in the 21st century now, who are we to think, well, that was important back then, but it's not important now? Listen, if they needed the Holy Spirit in the first century, we need the Holy Spirit in the 21st century, right? We need God more than ever. We need the power of His presence, the power of the Spirit at work in our lives. So I just want to encourage you. Let's go after these next 4 weeks. Let's go after God's presence and His power. Let's open our hearts to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Let's ask and believe God. Let's ask and believe God to be more full of His Holy Spirit than we've ever been before. Hallelujah. Man, in the midst of the craziness of this world, guys, we need God's presence more than ever. Amen? We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Let's stand together this morning. We're going to pray right now. We're going to ask for a fresh filling of God's Holy Spirit in our lives. And if you're watching online with us this morning, I want to encourage you right where you're at in your home. Again, the Holy Spirit is not limited by the four walls of the church. So right there at home, let's ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and be open to everything that he has for you. So would you just lift your hands up to the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. 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 Come, Holy Spirit. The first thing I would say is this: if there's resistance in your heart, if there's fear in your heart, there's resistance in your heart to the Holy Spirit, would you ask God to help you with that right now? Lord, take away that fear. Take away that resistance in my heart. Maybe it's something that you were taught, or maybe an experience you had where there was some kind of extreme thing being practiced and called spiritual, and it really wasn't. But whatever that might be, if there's any wall, if there's any barrier there, would you say, Lord, I want that removed. Holy Spirit, come and fill my life. Holy Spirit, I need you. I need you to transform my heart. God, take away this heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh, Lord. Take away that bitterness, that unforgiveness, that thing I've held against somebody. Lord, take it away from me. Give me a heart, God, that's pliable and soft and teachable and humble, God. Hallelujah, Lord. And then, Lord, transform my thought life through the power of your Holy Spirit. Help me to have a set mind, that I would set my mind on the things of God. Holy Spirit, come and transform my thinking. Lord, I pray that you will wash away covetousness and greed and lust and anger. Transform my thinking, confusion, self-condemnation, shame. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Gone in the name of Jesus. Fear, anxiety, thoughts of suicide, depression. Transform my thinking, oh God. Lord, I don't want to be conformed to the pattern of this world, but transformed by the renewing of my mind. Holy Spirit, renew our minds, renew our thought lives. Hallelujah. And then, Lord, help me to have power to serve you, to live for you. Transform my will, oh God. Lord, that I would long for more of you, God. Hallelujah. God, that I would not be self-defeated. I would not give up before I've tried. I will not surrender before I fought. I will not be convinced by the enemy that I cannot win. Lord, in Jesus' name, we declare that we are more than conquerors through Christ. We declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, that we have victory through Christ. Strengthen our will, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. Transform us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just let the Holy Spirit be a sponge right now. Just let the Holy Spirit fill you up. Fill you up. Fill you to overflowing. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says, don't be drunk on wine, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is a biblical prayer. Lord, fill me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God.